Take charge of the meeting. We have agendas before you. Are there comments on the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. There are minutes of the previous meeting, which I don't have in front of me.
I'm moving, Mr. Chairman.
Move approval.
Okay, is there a second? Minutes have been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Let me introduce the topics and then ask one question of the committee. There are one, two, three, four action items and two informational items. The first three action items are not totally routine, but more in order. The fourth is the discussion of the operating budget and the 2016 capital budget. In deference to our CFO, who does have to catch a plane, I would request that we reverse the order and move first to the operating and capital budget. That's any objection? If not, we'll proceed on to that one. Dennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me.
Caught him off guard.
Did I give it to you? Mr. Chairman, last December, the GM presented Metro's FY16 proposed budget for board consideration. Since then, staff has worked with the committee, as well as our jurisdictional partners, to address concerns raised by the proposed investments. Today, we seek board approval for an updated FY16 proposed budget that reflects adjustments that have been discussed with this committee, as well as in prior board sessions, and a budget that includes additional efficiencies to help balance the operating budget. I will describe, Mr. Chairman, the operating side of the budget, and Tom will provide some context with respect to the capital budget. So last February, the board decided to maintain Metro Rail and Metro Bus service levels, and along with that, agreed with an increase in metro access services in order to meet expected demand. Furthermore, the board decided against increase in fares for FY16. So following board direction, the budget that's now before you includes $10 million of administrative efficiencies to help reduce costs and to keep the jurisdictional subsidy at the level that the board was comfortable with. Consequently, the FY16 operating budget that's before you today reflects numbers that are less than the budget that the board saw earlier, as well as a jurisdictional support level that's also less than what was proposed before. With respect to the efficiencies, the December budget proposal achieved $5 million of savings from the elimination of 50 positions. The current budget that you're looking at today reflects an additional $5 million of savings, this time from non-personnel services, but from across the organization. But as with the original proposal, these additional belt-tightening efforts do not involve safety or customer service activities, and therefore are not expected to impact service to customers in any measurable way. Overall, the FY16 operating budget is $1.8 billion, which is 3.4% higher than last year. operating revenues for next year is at $938 million. I should note that fare revenues have been revised downwards since the numbers this committee saw in February to bring it in line with recent ridership trends. But to compensate for that reduction and to keep the jurisdictional funding levels at the same level that this board is comfortable with, current TIF revenues have been used to satisfy the remaining needs with respect to the operating budget. As I noted earlier, the FY16 investments will maintain service for Metro customers and support system rehabilitation and preservation. Part of that investment will go towards new Metro rail cars, new buses, and new Metro access vehicles to help keep the system in a state of good repair and reduce operating costs. And in keeping with the board's policy of biannual fare adjustments, there is no fare increases included in this budget. Furthermore, the operating budget continues to prioritize safety and financial management. For example, safety initiatives such as fatigue management, wayside worker warning, and closing of the remaining NTSB recommendations will continue to be funded and will protect both our employees and our customers. The budget will also support the development of a comprehensive risk framework for managing enterprise risk, as well as efforts by the Office of Compliance to improve financial management within Metro. However, while Metro moves forward with these initiatives that I've highlighted so far, there are several other worthy ones that are not funded due to limited resources. Throughout the budget process, Metro has ensured that the public and our customers who use us on a daily basis have had meaningful opportunities to provide feedback on all aspects of the proposed budget. On April 7, 2015, Metro held an informational session and public hearing on the budget as part of the public participation process. The staff report in your package provides for the detail on the outreach activities and the survey results. In addition, the Title VI equity analysis was conducted with respect to the proposed parking fee adjustments, as well as the original intention to eliminate the transit card or the transit link card. The analysis found in both respects no adverse impact with respect to those proposals. So this slide illustrates projected revenues and expenses with respect to FY16, showing them in the expense categories that this committee is used to. And the next slide breaks down public support by jurisdiction based on the current funding allocation for Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access. Also included is the relative share of debt service obligations, which is tied to Metro's outstanding long-term debt, but which, in this case, only applies to a few jurisdictions. Finally, this slide summarizes the current operating proposals compared to December with respect to expenses, revenues, and public subsidy. Again, expenses are lower by almost $10 million, and revenues are higher by almost $8 million, tied again to both the restoration of the originally proposed reduction in bus routes, as well as the utilization of TIF revenues to balance the budget. The net result, therefore, is that jurisdictional subsidy requirement is at $867 versus the original proposal of $883. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will turn it over to Tom to talk about a capital program.
Let me ask. People have questions at this point about the operating budget, or do we want Dennis to go forward and talk about that? No questions about the operating budget?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yep.
Leif, any questions on the operating side?
Okay.
We're asking if there are questions about the operating budget.
Sorry, okay. I don't have any questions on the operating budget.
Let's turn to the capital budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dennis. I'm Tom Webster. I'm the Managing Director of the Office of Management and Budget here at Metro. I'm pleased to present the updated FY16 capital budget and FY16-21. I'm pleased to present the updated FY16 capital budget and FY16 to 2021 six-year capital improvement program. Since December, there have been extensive discussions among Metro, our regional partners, and other stakeholders about capital investment priorities and funding constraints. There have also been substantial internal efforts to establish more realistic project schedules and project budgets, and we have worked to ensure that emerging safety projects are addressed in the capital program. The updated proposed 16 capital budget totals $1.17 billion, about $200 million less than the $1.3 billion original proposal from December. The updated budget reduces jurisdictional capital contributions in FY16 and defers the use of long-term financing as a funding source for projects until FY17 and beyond. The updated six-year capital improvement program now totals $6.2 billion, with planned investment focused on critical safety improvements, state of good repair, and system rebuilding projects. Overall, the multi-year program is approximately $1 billion less than the original December proposal. And in response to funding constraints and direction from regional partners, most capacity and enhancement projects have been eliminated or deferred. The updated program also assumes that the region will continue under the current capital funding agreement in FY16 and that the agreement will be renewed prior to its expiration on June 30th of 2016. In response to requests from some jurisdictional funding partners and based on updated project schedules and cost estimates, the proposed 16 capital budget contribution from the jurisdiction has been reduced by a total of $88 million as compared to the amounts included in the December proposal. Based on the capital program jurisdiction allocation formulas, the District of Columbia's contribution is reduced by $35 million, Maryland's by $32.7 million, and Virginia's combined contribution is reduced by $20 million. The $1 billion reduction to the program, as well as the input Metro has received regarding program priorities, has led to a series of significant changes to the multi-year program since the December proposal. In the revised proposal, the Union Station and Gallery Place Station access and capacity improvements are deferred to beyond 2021, reducing the program by $88 million. 100 expansion buses previously planned for the enhancement of priority corridor network services and to support on-time performance and capacity improvements have been deferred and removed from the six-year plan, cutting the program by approximately $75 million. The 220 rail cars previously planned for expanded eight-car train service are now programmed in the plan for use as replacement rail cars. The heavy repair and overhaul facility in New Carrollton Yard capacity improvements that would be necessary to store an expanded fleet are deferred, reducing the program by a substantial amount, approximately $440 million. The escalator replacement project is reduced by $65 million over the six-year period to reflect lower cost estimates for the same scope of work. The plan now assumes fewer staff resources will be required to advance the construction. Service vehicle acquisition and replacement project has been reduced by $23 million over the six-year period, and Metro will replace service vehicles less frequently than previously planned. The revised program also includes an updated radio infrastructure project to advance the comprehensive program to upgrade Metro's communications infrastructure.
That latter project on the radios is really responsive to what we learned at L'Enfant.
Correct.
The urgent need to get that replaced. We're displacing other things in the program in order to be able to do that.
That's correct.
Thank you.
What's the dollar value of that?
The total dollar value?
Or the change?
I recall a briefing earlier this week. It's a $10 million item in 2016, but a 200 and something million total over the 6 years.
It's 201.2 over the 100.
The FY15 to 2021 total investment is now 205.3 million. It's an increase over the December proposal of approximately 53 million.
And it's an earlier start than we had previously
considered. Correct. Included in the budget, the six-year program includes funding for the 400 new 7,000 series rail cars to replace the 1,000 series and 4,000 series cars. The first 7,000 series cars are in service, and in FY16, Metro expects to take delivery of approximately 144 new cars. The new test track and commissioning facility is also expected to be complete early in FY16, which will allow for the testing of rail cars with minimal impact on the system. The proposed updated capital program now includes the acquisition of 220 rail cars for the early replacement of 5,000 series rail cars. Early replacement of the 5,000 series cars requires FTA, Federal Transit Administration, approval, as those vehicles were originally purchased using FTA grant funds. FTA is currently considering Metro's request. The options to purchase those 220 rail cars must be executed no later than July 25th of this year. The program also now includes $238 million over the six-year period for rail power system upgrades, primarily on the Orange and Blue Lines, and the 220 rail car program has a total cost of approximately $850 million, $614 million for the 220 rail cars, of which 484 is programmed in the, or would be programmed in the FY16 to 2021 timeframe, and approximately $238 million for rail power system upgrades. During the six-year period, Metro will finish stage one of the comprehensive Orange-Blue Line rehabilitation program and will begin stage two of the Red Line rehabilitation project, which will include the water remediation work at Medical Center Station. Metro will also continue critical safety projects advanced in response to NTSB recommendations, as well as the substantial investment in track and structures rehabilitation to achieve and maintain a steady state of maintenance. Significant accelerated investment is also programmed for leak mitigation and drainage improvements and the automatic train control state of good repair project. Bus and Metro access in FY16, Metro will purchase approximately 165 new low-floor buses to replace vehicles that have reached the end of their useful lives, and as well as 175 new paratransit vehicles. Metro will also continue the annual bus rehabilitation campaign and rehabilitate 100 existing buses. And during the next six-year period, Metro will complete the construction of the new bus facilities at Cinderbed Road in Fairfax County and Andrews Federal Campus in Prince George's County to replace the Royal Street and Southern Avenue garages. The capital program also continues Metro's multi-year effort to replace and rehabilitate vertical infrastructure. Metro plans to complete the installation of 14 replacement escalators and to rehabilitate 18 escalators and 12 elevators, with the potential to complete more units at additional locations if work progresses favorably relative to the schedule. Metro is also continuing the annual station rehabilitation program with work planned at 24 stations in FY16. Platform rehabilitation work will also begin at National Airport Station, and Metro will continue the multi-year program to improve lighting in Metro rail stations. To recap, the updated six-year capital improvement program now totals $6.2 billion. The FY15 forecast has been reduced to a more realistic $754 million, and the revised capital budget, proposed capital budget for FY16 is $1.165 billion. A total of about $1 billion has been removed from the multi-year program, including about $400 million from the FY15-16 time period and additional $600 million from the FY17-21 time period. The ramp-up in expenditures in FY16 and 17 that you see in the chart and spilling into FY18, primarily attributable to the costs associated with the acquisition of the 1,000 series rail cars, the 7,000 series rail cars to replace the 1,000 series rail cars. The total cost of the 220 railcar program is $852,000,000, $722,000,000 of which is shown in the blue bars on this chart and is in the six-year period. And the updated base safety and state of good repair program, excluding those 220 railcar program, is about $5.5 billion over the 6 years. The six-year financial plan assumes continued appropriation by Congress of the $150 million per year in Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act funding, PREA funding, as well as continued formula funding at the current year level of approximately $290 million. Six-year plan also assumes the corresponding jurisdictional match to those federal grant programs, as well as jurisdictional system performance funding at levels consistent with those levels established in the capital funding agreement covering the time period from fiscal 11 to fiscal 16. The revised six-year plan also assumes the issuance of a total of $956 million of long-term financing to fund the program of projects beginning in FY17, so the year after the next budget year, through the 2021 time period. $591 million is assumed in the financial plan in fiscal 17 and 18, an additional $366 million in 18 through 21. Consistent with the CFA, each contributing jurisdiction will have the opportunity to opt out of those long-term debt issuances and provide direct contributions to the program. For next steps, staff is preparing Metro's Federal Transit Administration grant applications and intends to submit those applications shortly after board adoption of the budget, or the capital budget. Consistent with the board's grant management policy, which requires submission of grant applications no later than 4 weeks after the adoption of the budget. Fiscal year 16 begins on July 1st, and following the adoption of the budget, we will resume regional discussions on the renewal of the capital funding agreement and begin discussions of the FY17 budget and potential fare changes for the FY17 program. And in September, we'll return with return to the board with the FY15 year-end financial report and capital program progress update. So our recommendation is adoption of the revised proposed FY16 operating and capital budgets and the FY16 to 21 capital improvement program. Thank you.
Before I open up for questions, let me just emphasize a couple of points. We're seeing in this capital side a slowing of the budgeted pace. But frankly, that's responding to what the board has said for some time. We keep budgeting for a larger number and seeing a smaller number actually achieved. My direction, I think, where we've come back with is a budget that's hopefully deliverable, but also doesn't create undue burden on the jurisdictions. That it's within the pace of what we can achieve. It continues the progress towards state of good repair, but it achieves a level of performance that we can deliver and deliver without extraordinary pressure on our riders. So that's kind of the context. Second observation, what's before us, and I think the most important item, is the fiscal 16 capital budget. That's what we're doing today. That's what we need to be doing July 1st. That's what we need to be doing to keep a steady pace financially and operationally. I view what we see beyond that, 2017 to 2021, as an indicative direction, still an affordable amount. But that's, in my view, an academic exercise until we actually get to the adoption of the capital funding agreement. We're technically in coming into the last year of the old CFA. It covers, we all have agreement on how we pay for what's going to be out there. We'll be opening up a whole new chapter with respect to 2017. I have certainly have asked the staff to be undergoing a very rigid, scrutinized, disciplined look at our capital needs. Back to basics. Where are we on state of good repair? Where are we on ability to deliver? where are we on the ability to manage both operationally and financially that program before we go to the jurisdictions and say we want you to sign up for another six-year run, which we have to do if we're going to keep the system functioning and improving. We've got to put our act together better on how we will deliver that. So we're not asking a firm commitment to those out years. We're saying that's where things would lead us, but we're going to have a good conversation over the next year about how important it is for the region and how we can say we can deliver on this. Third question, incorporated in what you put forth for 2016 is a certain set of assumptions about how to exercise or whether to exercise the option for the option cars. That clearly is dependent on some approvals that we do not have as yet, and not certain when we actually will get those approvals and of what direction it might take us. I'm wondering, and others might ask the same thing, can we divide the question here and set aside those elements of the 2016 capital budget that are implicit, that are affected by that decision, and be able to move forward with the rest of it? And I think there are reasons why moving forward with the rest of the capital plan is pretty critical in terms of the ongoing activities of the authority. And I would ask Dennis for his comment on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You are correct that we can disaggregate the components of the capital program in ways that allow the organization to move forward while we reserve areas that still have open questions for future discussions, as long as those discussions take place within the context of the decision metrics. With respect to the broader capital program, I think in addition to the recent policy that this board adopted, my fundamental concern is with, to the extent that a broader delay in the approval of the overall capital program results in continued expenditures of funds that are not available to this organization, then we will, or this board will in effect be exacerbating the current conditions that we're trying to get out of. Because unless we can apply for grants, unless you're willing to cancel contracts, then I think the prudent thing to do will be to make decisions that allow this organization to continue to move forward while reserving those cases where you need to make decisions. And in this case, I think the construct that we have should allow this board to do that while we continue, at least for most of the program, to apply for grants and proceed with projects in ways that continue to advance the goal of this board and this organization.
rather than a question, since the hour's late, let me just offer a proposal or a suggestion to try and bring together some different concerns. You know, the concerns on the part of Maryland that they're really not ready to go forward with some of the elements in the capital budget, perhaps for some district concerns. So I would bring to the table for discussion purposes what I call a proposal that has five parts to it. Part one would be to approve the operating budget for FY16, subject to one modification. Part two would be that modification, which is on the subsidy calculation for the Dulles Route 5A, that Maryland is excluded from that calculation. That would be just a subsidy shared between the district and Virginia. Third, that we would approve the capital budget for FY16, the actual FY16 year, which would provide the money so that MATA could accept the NVTA money so that you could bring in some power upgrades on the blue and orange line, and so that the money is in there for deposits for the 7,000 rail cars. Part four would be that we would approve the capital improvement program the planning years, FY17 through FY21, but zero out three of the accounts. And the three accounts that would be zeroed out for now are 76, which are the power upgrades in future years, 61, which is the account for the 5K rail car rehabilitation, and 068, which is the future year rail car acquisition cost money. So we go forward with everything else that's in the capital improvement program in the planning years, except for those three accounts, which are the most controversial accounts. And finally, with regard to the early retirement of the 5,000 series rail cars, the board would direct the general manager to commission an independent review of procurement, inspection, and maintenance for the 5,000 series rail cars to determine the factors that contribute to the poor performance of these vehicles and whether reliability can be improved in a more cost-effective manner to enable improved utilization for the useful life. Essentially, a way to study how did we get into this mess when we've ended up with 5,000 rail cars that were going to retire at their half-life because they appear to have been clunkers, and how did we get into that messy position. So those would be the five elements that I would offer for discussion that I think Maryland could live with as a way to move forward today and approve the budgets, both operating and capital for FY16.
Let me ask one question regarding that before I open it up. If approval were given to the FY16 capital budget, part of that is contingent on exercising the option, but we're not clear yet whether we can exercise the option. Now, maybe we cross that bridge later. I think the important issue for the authority is the bread and butter work that's in FY16 that continues all the work that's been going on be funded and funded quickly. So I'm not sure whether we should also carve out the exercise of the option or whether we'll cross that when we get there. Right. The other items I certainly understand, which is obviously if we do replace the 5Ks, we don't have to rebuild them. The need for a future fleet is something that's quite a ways off. The power upgrades, more directly, as I understand it, have to do with what do we do with respect to the option cars, and would we get utilization of them without the power upgrades? But again, that's kind of in a package with can we actually exercise the options. But let me open it up for
From Maryland's point of view, the problem with the power upgrades is that we're only really able to under the budget to fund that. We know for sure that the FTA
will go. Yes. Yeah.
So we're very reluctant, to not. Then we end up in the budget with having two things.
We don't want cars and no way to run them, yeah.
And cars need to be rebuilt.
You know, I think I do understand where you're going. There is one small question which Virginia may raise. If the longer-term power upgrade and fleet utilization is not undertaken, again, we're back to the catch-22 of can the NBTA money that is on the agenda actually be drawn down. But let's hold for that until we get to that item.
Okay.
But it definitely is a concern.
Mr. Chairman, in light of Mr. Goldman wanting to expedite this process, I'd really like to put forward in much simpler process of where we need to go. First and foremost, we need to adopt the operating budget, and we need to keep moving on that part of it. And I really think that hopefully we could get to some agreement that, yes, that is what we want to do, mm-hmm. and that we'd make a motion to adopt the 2016 operating budget and get it off the table. And if that's an agreement, we can continue to move through this process so that we can make sure that those elements that are needed and we can all agree to, we can get to in a very short time rather than a long discussion of an entire motion.
Has the motion been offered? Is there a second?
The motion to adopt the 2016 operating budget as proposed.
Mr. Chairman, I've got an amendment I would like to make to that, and let me just pass this out here. This concerns the Transit Link program.
Mm-hmm.
I chaired the budget hearing that was held in this building about this current budget, and I would say that the most controversial proposal that we made was to eliminate the Transit Link. There were at least 50 people, I believe, who were here to talk about that and to express their concern. Many people coming. I don't think they're all from Maryland, but there were a great many people from Maryland, particularly from the Frederick area, that rely very heavily on Transit Link. That's how they get to work. And they talked about the hardship that they would have if Transit Link were not available to them. Subsequent to that hearing, I had a discussion with Mr. Requa, and I know that subsequent to that, there were discussions back and forth between the authority and various agencies in the state of Maryland to see if there was a way to preserve the Transit Link without running us back into paper fare cards. And I believe that there is an agreement about a way it could be done, which is to basically use a sticker on a permanent fare media. And this proposal would authorize that alternative in lieu of eliminating the Transit Link program.
And people would get the same fare benefit they get now.
They would get the
in a different.
And I want to move that. And Mr. Requa wanted to make a comment.
I'll just comment that
there a second before we move to the second. I'll second that.
There was okay. a second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our interest was to eliminate the paper
right.
portion of the card, not the program itself. So we worked with the MTA. And Commuter Direct and VRE, and we have a way of doing it. We have a way of doing it that gets us out of paper, doesn't impact the customers. I think there's 2,200 customers that take advantage of this.
Might be happier customers than otherwise.
Yes.
Right.
Who would likely not continue to ride the system if we eliminate Transit Link?
And our Treasury office has worked out the details, and we think that we can continue with the seamless process without paper. So I think we accomplished both goals.
Any other comment on Ms. Porter's amendment?
I find it.
Let me call a question on the amendment.
I think there's a question over here.
Yeah. Okay, so if we could vote this one. Okay. All in favor? Oh.
Do we have an amendment for Mr. Goldman? One amendment for the operating budget, right,
yes.
which was the 5A?
Yeah. So you want to deal with the five? Yeah.
I'm assuming that's.
That will be dealt with, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, got the basic operating budget has been moved and seconded. This is an amendment which has been moved and seconded and discussed. All in favor of the amendment on the TLC?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So, we now have the operating budget with TLC not changed. Now, are there further amendments?
Mentioning Should I just read it for the benefit of the...
Sure, for the benefit of the...
So just resolved that for fiscal 2016 and forward, the board instructs staff to revise the adjusted subsidy allocation formula as adopted in Board Resolution 2002-30 for the Metro Bus 5-day route by removing the state of Maryland from the formula and distributing Maryland's share of the allocation proportionally among the remaining jurisdictions.
So it's not changing the nature of the 5A route as done here. It would continue to run from D.C. to Arlington and out to Dulles, but Maryland would not be sharing in the cost. Is that's the proposal?
Absent a second. Let me go to just a question here. Recalling when this was actually established and how the allocation of the funding was done then, and looking at the change of service in the corridor that the 5A serves throughout Virginia, most particularly, the duplicative services that exist, I would wonder if Mr. Goldman would accept a substitute to this and ask that we allow this to go out to public hearing and come back to this budget to make any adjustments after going back over that history, because I think the point that Maryland it serves no purpose to Maryland, I think, is really not clear, and I think we ought to see the data that shows that, and also show where the services is served more on a regional level versus not on a regional level, because I think the service has provided a lot of Maryland ridership as well as Virginia ridership, and we talked about and it really happens as you integrate into the system, not just starting out of Maryland.
So D.C. also.
And D.C. as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we could get past one piece of this part, and it is scheduled to go out to public hearing, is that?
It wouldn't go to public hearing if it's not going to be changed in the nature of its schedule or service.
Well, I think that may be one of the considerations that we can think about if that's the opportunity to do so. I think there's a big question of the clarity of when we look at this moving forward on a regional budget, what is that we're putting in this budget that serves both Maryland, D.C., and Virginia? And I know Ms. Hines has a piece about that we would say, really, we have duplicate service. We probably could go without the 5A, but we would consider maybe there's a better way to bring it into the system where we all can continue the benefit that we have and not simply say it's not Maryland's, but it may be.
So your proposal is we actually go to hearing on eliminating or totally revamping the 5A.
Yeah.
And after reaching a service discussion, come back to the board with
as
a question of how to pay for it.
To.
If we don't need it, if we decide not to have it, then nobody has to pay.
And that's right.
I don't think that's going to be acceptable from our side. We're just really trying to get Maryland out of essentially paying a subsidy for a service that runs between the district and the circuit.
And
I thought we were doing that to help.
Yeah, it might also be helpful at some point to determine how many services are now being run between Maryland and the district that Virginia is paying for.
Yeah, I think certainly the conversation, but I think having a public hearing, and I believe, does staff know, are there compliance issues here that we are moving the workforce that needs this transportation forum or method to get to Dulles Airport? Because wasn't that one of the original reasons for this route to exist? And so it's more of a workforce issue than it is a passenger issue. And so I do wonder if there are compliance issues that have to be talked about before we even think about eliminating this.
We're not eliminating anything. We're just changing how the subsidy is funded for this route. We're not changing the service at all. So we understand it would go. Once we adopt this resolution today, tomorrow, the same way it went yesterday or the week before, the month before.
Can I
what
just
Virginia
simply
may want it, saying you would like to re-examine the nature of the service.
That is exactly. I think your position is that if we can simply eliminate paying the Maryland part, it would be okay to keep the service. The point is whether or not how we provide services to the regional community, and Maryland is included in that, and the District of Columbia is included in it. It was originally part of that. And my question to your motion is to simply let's truly look at the service, and if there is a redistribution of who and how we pay, and does the service need to continue to exist, we can address it in that. Otherwise, the motion really kind of says the service should continue, but guess what? I don't want to pay for it. And that doesn't look at what your citizens or Maryland folks are using, and it doesn't say how it's being distributed in a regional way to be beneficial to continue running.
You want to make our amendment, suggest our amendment only apply to FY16, and that how it goes forward depends on such a hearing. Such a hearing
that is exactly
bus from EWI to New Carrollton is funded as well, since that may have district residents and Virginia residents on board or board as services. We can accept that, but we're interested in at least establishing for FY16 that the subsidy portion that Maryland is now in taken out. If, as a result of a hearing, that there's a redistribution, you know, we can take that up at the time. But at least for purposes of the FY16 budget, we would like the Maryland portion of the subsidy to be zeroed out.
I don't know if we yet have a second to Mr. The second, okay. Comments from staff on this?
Well, I don't know that it helps in the beginning. Of course, this was a service that was proposed by the District of Columbia, funded for the first 18 months by the District of Columbia to get workers to the corridor, you know, in Virginia. It became, after the 18 months, it became a regional route because it crosses jurisdictional lines and has continued in a very, you know, in relatively highly productive service over that period of time. We went to public hearing last year, and it was probably the one route that had the most interest in keeping the service as a result of all of the people that were using it, primarily to, workers at the airport and other people along the way. And, of course, it obviously picked up a number of passengers that were using the airlines. We can, again, we're coming back to the board, to the committee in July with a recommendation for non-budgetary service changes to make things more efficient. We certainly could put the 5A back on the hearing docket, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of public comment in regards to the service that it provides.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, from a financial perspective, I think we all appreciate that this is a multi-modal system, which means we're offering buses and rail and access services, and because we're serving a region, we have customers who use us and transfer points that we may not even appreciate. And so as the board considers decisions with respect to discrete routes, it will be useful to keep in mind that there are collateral impacts that impact the travel patterns of all of our customers that this board will probably should consider as you make these kinds of decisions.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm going to take my regional hat off and say, well, let's let D.C. pay for it. And you're laughing, but really that is what you're saying. And I'm really offering it because I can tell you internally in Fairfax County, it probably doesn't serve that many people. But that isn't what I would say about Virginia, and I don't know if I can say that about Maryland. But if you don't want to take the regional approach, let's just say if it's serving D.C. best, let D.C. pay for it. And that would be my motion, and I'd ask for a second, because in my mode of wanting to ask that we move forward on the operating budget, that we can actually move forward. And I'm offering you an opportunity to look at the service and see how best we can reconcile the differences we have, rather than to simply go and say it doesn't affect me, therefore I don't want to be in it. And that isn't our compact. That isn't what we are doing. And most importantly, as Dennis has said, this is a regional system, and I would put my money on the fact that there are Marylanders that are using this as well, and you just don't know who they are. And that may be what is most unfortunate that happens with our system. So that's where I don't have, you know, if I have a second to my motion or not, but if that's the approach, and we can come back and reconcile that in the end as to how best we really need to address this.
Any comments?
So there's an amendment to remove
Maryland,
Maryland from paying a, their current share of the subsidy for the 5A route.
Right. And there is a proposed but not yet seconded amendment to either or perhaps both and. Okay. Both do this and take it to hearing and decide if we really need this. If we really don't need it, then that becomes moot. Would that hearing include identification of what the alternatives are?
I would hope so.
Yeah. So it would not just be 5A is leaving and there's nothing but 5A is leaving. Here's what would be offered. I would second your amendment if that's the indication.
It can be structured as well as the jurisdictions, you know, guide us with the planners and putting the docket together as to what activities we would be expecting to discuss with the public.
And there is another item that we've talked about in December and deferred till July, which is a general look at regional and local
bus. Yes, there is going to be that discussion or proposed discussion in July also. Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
As a new board member, if we were to go to a public hearing in July and it was agreed that we absolutely have to have 5A continue, or if it was decided that we could eliminate it, when could that change take effect?
The public hearing would be in September. We'd come back in November, and if it was an elimination or change in service, would take place at the end of December.
Okay. So we're in effect looking at a half a year commitment before any potential change.
Service change.
That would be the earliest, yes. I mean, we can make it later, but that would be the earliest.
Okay. So we have pending Mr. Goldman's amendment as modified, potentially as modified by Catherine's amendment. We'll take a vote first on Catherine's amendment to put it to hearing.
Yes. Can I clarify?
Yeah.
So the amendment that would do exactly what's here.
And yeah, that's what I said, both and.
No,
it's both and. Vote will.
So the amendment would remove Maryland from funding it, and then we'd have a public hearing. And
would also have a public hearing on whether to continue the service.
Say that again. The amendment would remove Maryland.
As provided here.
And
but
have a public hearing?
And have a public hearing, which could lead to
eliminating.
It's not or, it's both and.
I think you meant or.
I don't think it serves us
to the
point.
Okay. I think Ms. Hudgens' amendment is to have a public hearing.
Right. Only.
Without any reference
any
to Maryland
change to the 5A.
And then there was another amendment just to switch it all to.
Well, I mean, if we don't, Washington, yes.
D.C.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a bit.
That's not amendment. Yeah.
He didn't.
Your amendment really goes to the service. It goes to service issues of the 5A. Our amendment only goes to who bears the subsidy burden for the 5A. And so we would like to move forward, and at least for FY16. Be relieved of the subsidy burden on the 5A, and if the public hearing decides that 5A should be eliminated, well, if the 5A decides that the bus should be less days, or well, and if the hearing decides that it should be continued as it's currently structured, all well and good, and the board can decide at that time for a future year, FY17, what should be the division among the jurisdictions as to how that service should be funded.
Well, I really can see the easier way, since that same analysis can be done without us putting it into the big mix this time.
Okay.
And that is taking the allocation out and having it, that subsidy remain part of this, as it's been up to now, and we can get the same results out of that.
Eliminate the route.
Yes.
I just don't understand this one. What is the amendment and what's...
Your amendment is still the one on the table.
My amendment is on the table.
So the original amendment is on the table.
Yes. And might I assume that Maryland's support for the operating budget is contingent on adoption of this?
No.
But
Maryland's support for elements of the capital program for FY16 are contingent.
Are contingent on this.
Decided, as I indicated in the board,
Are you able to say which issues of the capital budget are dependent upon this vote, Mr. Goldman?
Sure.
Which ones?
You know, we thought we were making a step forward towards trying to resolve a broader regional issue, and so that our vote for FY16 in supporting a commitment from Maryland to match with $6 million Virginia MBTA contribution, or however you want to call it, $5 million, what we were prepared to do in exchange for this kind of resolution of a problem which has been very much of a concern for Maryland.
That's not actually. That's where we are at this point. You've offered the motion. Did you second?
Somebody's.
So this particular one, I better say.
Yeah, I know that, and I'm talking about Kathleen's. Yeah.
I know.
If there's no second to Ms. Hutchins' motion.
I believe I did second.
I believe you did.
It,
okay.
Initially.
Okay. So we'll consider that a substitute and ask for the ayes and nays on that motion.
Mm-hmm. Restate the motion.
The motion is to Ms. Hutchins' motion to substitute a taking of the 5A to hearing for changing the cost allocation. If that passes, that's the end of it. If it does not pass, then Mr. Goldman's motion would still be before us.
To consider changes to the service that might even include elimination, thereby mooting the point about the subsidy.
So if the motion is to hold a public hearing.
Put it on the docket for the public hearing in July.
On the 5A to determine if service would continue.
To make no changes in the subsidy.
If it does continue.
Until this time the public hearing is finished and a subsequent decision is reached.
That's
correct.
We adopt this as a substitute, that would be the outcome. Any further discussion?
Let me just clarify.
Yeah.
So, to Mr. Goldman's point, if in July the hearing was held and decisions were made to substantially change the service, including eliminating it, or keeping it, would we also then have the opportunity at that time to reallocate the subsidy as is currently being proposed?
Well, you know,
the allocation,
elimination would moot it, but keeping it.
The allocation of the subsidy is a small amount compared to what you're matching against is the
I'm just asking for clarification. Yeah.
Right.
The answer is no.
The capital commitment.
I need to ask one question.
What we're only trying to do is simply level it and come back and make sense of it as a regional service.
There are a large number of regional routes that are supported by the three jurisdictions.
There are.
Is it that each one has an allocation, or is it the bundle of all of them that creates the allocation?
That each one has an allocation.
Separately, individually?
Yes.
Let me ask staff.
It's not even a large.
I know.
Right.
I'll sit at the microphone. The 5A is distributed based on the ridership
of that route.
Of that route.
Okay.
Determined by survey. Right now, it's about 19% Maryland, 40% district, and the balance is Virginia.
Okay. How recently was that survey done?
let's see, it was
okay.
May, this is 2015, 14, May 2013.
So it's prior to the Silver Line opening?
Yes, it was.
Is there any assumption that the Silver Line's running might change that?
The Silver Line has had an impact on the ridership, and we were prepared to implement a new survey instrument.
Jim, the question was asked, are all each regional route individually calculated in a separate manner, or is it all in?
The combined? Regional routes are, there are four factors that go into the formula. The two that are service related are the number of revenue hours and the number of revenue miles associated with each of those lines. Those are added up together, and then the percentage for each jurisdiction is calculated based on the total. What's unique about the 5A is that instead of distributing the miles and hours by geography, it's distributed by the proportion of ridership.
So it has, it, unlike all of the regional routes, has its own.
It has its okay. sub-allocation factor, yes.
Got it.
This is what's in Resolution 2002-30, that where the subsidy allocation comes from?
That is correct. It was adopted by the board as part of the operating budget approval for that year.
So I think what's before us is still your motion.
Yes.
To put it to hearing, I assume we would also perhaps do a survey prior to that time or at an appropriate time.
Should that amendment be inclusive of a new survey to see what the ridership is?
It could be helpful for it to it, but I think really the question is if Alan is out of this allocation.
I could also say the same thing about Fairfax, and I decided that I didn't want to say that about Fairfax. No.
So just to make sure I'm understanding, the formula is already proportional to the
ridership.
As of ridership.
That is the very point. and it's not that they're.
So why are we talking about this?
Against a capital budget that is much more significant.
You're right. For people to get a free ride,
they want a free ride. They want two free rides for this one. Oh. But I think to be fair to Maryland here, there's also a bus that runs from, what is it, New Carrollton, Greenbelt, to BWI.
And that's not done by a ridership survey?
And that is totally funded by Maryland. And so this particular route is funded differently than most regional routes because it's an airport route and there's assumptions made about who is going to be riding it. But when it comes to the BWI service, the assumption is, well, that's not a regional route, so Maryland should pay for it. So there's two very similar bus routes, one of which Maryland pays 100% of, no survey.
Can we propose and the other to add a survey for that route?
The other of which is done by survey. And I think the feeling here, Maryland feels sort of that's not quite fair.
And the only point, and I'm not going to belabor this anymore because I like going home too. The point is, I could give you that same analogy in Virginia. There is an airport route to Dulles that allows you to connect into the region on the train. There is a Fairfax bus that takes you to Dulles that allows you to connect in to the train. So at any point in time, any of those riders could be riding a regional system. We are a regional body. And the question that I only want to ask is, how best can we continue to serve those folks who still want to use the 5A as a regional service and Maryland stay in this game to maybe the benefit of their own riders. And most importantly, not leverage against something that is really much more important to our region, and that's our capital budget. So the point is really trying to think about it a little bit differently. But I could take my hat off anyway and say, well, I don't want to pay for it either. I really have a duplicative route, but that isn't what we should be doing. If Maryland wants to go that way, that's fine, and the vote will show you.
Any other comments? And the vote is on Ms. Hutchins' motion as a substitute to Mr. Goldman's. Put it to hearing to keep it operating under the current formula. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any no's? Who knows? Like, and then this being an amendment to Mr. Goldman's motion, we now have to vote on it as amended. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Oh. Aye. That's aye. Yeah.
Opposed? Same two.
And all in favor of Mr. Goldman?
No. The amended version of Mr. Goldman. Which is the same. This was a substitute.
You do it as a substitute. You have to vote on the substitute, then vote on the main motion. Yeah. It's not the same.
Right. All right. Then what we have before us is the 2016 operating budget. Other discussion amendments to the 2016 operating budget as amended.
It's been amended by Kathy's motion.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. This is how the amendment didn't pass because it didn't get the mirroring votes.
Well, that's not true in committee.
I believe it then.
No veto in committee.
Okay.
Might get vetoed in the board, but not in committee. Mm-hmm. Is there other discussion or amendments to the 2016 operating budget?
Yes. I'd like to offer an amendment that. Conjunction with the development of the operating budget, on a go-forward basis, staff provides a board five-year look ahead at operating expenses on a quarterly basis. A forecast of future operating expenses is provided to the board on a quarterly basis.
Can I get a clarification?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand.
Do you mean that every quarter we would get a five-year look ahead of on operating, or that once a year we would get a five-year look ahead that breaks the costs up by quarter?
No.
Neither?
Every quarter we see updates to the five-year
So the first thing I said.
So it's a quarterly rolling look at the next 5 years.
Question on the time frame. We are currently in the fourth quarter of FY15. We reach the end of the fourth quarter of FY15. We'll be doing our year-end and fourth quarter report. That fourth quarter report would look ahead 5 years from the end of fiscal 15. Okay.
We currently do a three-year look ahead in advance of doing the annual budget. It would make sense if this is going to be the process, would be to make that a five-year look ahead. And then, in effect, you'd be updating it each quarter. I mean, it's a lot of work, but I hope it would provide some useful insights. Is there a second to Mr. Dormshow's motion?
I just had another question about it. So I just want to get some sense of the accuracy of 5 years. I feel like a year look ahead is pretty accurate. 2 years might not be too bad. I don't know how the accuracy might diverge as you go forward. I support the idea of a look ahead, but I want to get some sense of how useful it is, especially for years 4 and 5, when things might be quite different.
If I may make a comment, should that be part of the budget, the 2016 operating budget, as compared to a policy?
And it could be.
It's really a policy.
Yeah.
It's
a policy.
It could be.
I'm not against it. I'm just wondering whether it belongs in this discussion.
It would be a freestanding resolution because that would outlast the resolution for the one-year budget.
You can take it up as a policy if that's appropriate.
Yeah. And maybe you can answer some of the questions, too, that we've had.
Sure. If prior to the board meeting, this is when we actually would take this up, if you could give us a written resolution that achieves the purpose, it would be helpful.
We can do that.
It separately from the
staff on maybe a little bit of a white paper to describe the
methodology
used by other public agencies to do this type of forecasting that involves the views of appropriate indices and the escalation of labor contracts and other things that are very predictable on a go forward basis. So if you need to do a little bit more research together, that's fine. I'm sure Tom's up there.
In terms of adopting a policy that's informed by a white paper in 2 weeks, that's an ambitious schedule. But okay. Okay. Yes.
But you'll offer it later as a policy resolution. Okay. Anything else on the operating budget? No further amendments? Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. The operating budget is in place for 2016, which gives the staff a month to get all of the various pieces of work in place to start that. Next item is the 2016 capital budget and the 2017 to 2021 capital plan. We have suggestions from Mr. Goldman on changes that he would like to see. Are you making those in the form of a motion?
Not at this point.
All right, then I would move the adoption of the 2016 capital budget as submitted, just to get the discussion going. I would then amend it in certain ways.
You second it?
So 2016 capital budget and capital five-year plan are on the table. Let's see how to proceed to. All right, then I'll give you the opportunity for any amendments that you want to make to affect the points that you'd like to see. I think it would be to zero out the out-year items that you mentioned, and I think I would also want to zero out the for now the item having to do with the exercise of the car option.
Probably not serious, but three amendments I'll make them.
On block?
Okay. It would be to the need for the planning years FY 17 through 21 for the accounts 076, 06, 11, 01, the case numbers shown there.
And those are the power upgrades, the rehab of 5Ks, and advanced funding for the 8Ks. Future rail car purchase.
For clarity, the 5K rehab project as presented in the proposed is already zeroed out, so it would be confirming
it was
that
zeroed out in this version because the assumption was they'd be replaced.
That's correct.
Right. But I'm also suggesting we not approve the replacement until we know better whether we can do that.
FTA
approval for early retirement, which if we get, we can then have a debate about how to do it. If we don't get that, we may have to come back with plan C, D, and E.
I have a question about the power upgrades, and maybe Mr. Troop can answer this. We've had some conversation about how we're in a constant state of refurbishing our system, and as soon as we're done with it, we start all over again. So my question is, what's the condition of the traction power equipment and infrastructure in place today, and kind of what's its useful life? We've been talking about the power upgrades as if they only affect the ability to do 8-car trains. And I guess what I want to know is whether you know, how much do we have a need to be upgrading the power infrastructure anyway, even if not for the eight-car trains?
Yeah, I think if we can look at that by the three major components of what the power upgrades are, which is the third rail replacement from the steel to the composite aluminum, the power cable replacements, which we're currently engaged in, and the traction power substations. So if we look at the third rail replacement, the third rail is something that we were doing anyway. We're continuing that work. The only thing is we are not doing it in such an accelerated fashion as if we would have done it for the power upgrade. So we would have extended that time frame between, between now and, say, 2030. We would be doing 5 miles a year under this program. We would need to do 15 miles a year. So that's the one element. We are replacing third rail anyway, replacing it with a composite aluminum as well. Second component for the cable upgrades, as we can see, you know, the negative side is very important to us, the negative side propulsion return, which contributes to some of the arcing incidents that we see. We are upgrading that, and we would continue to do that work regardless to be able to upgrade that side of it to be able to help with the negative propulsion return. So we'd be doing that again. And again, it would not be in such an accelerated fashion. We would continue on that as a normal course. The traction power substations are a little bit more complicated, in as much as that what we have is a state of good repair in the traction power substation rooms. For example, in many of the traction power substations room, we have 6 megawatt, two lineups of 3 megawatt each. We would go in there and we would replace those certain cubicles. We were under the state of good repair, we would replace those. If we were doing that work, it would be my recommendation and my desire to go in there and do that work and add the additional cubicle, which would be the 9 megawatt, to be able to give us the traction power upgrades. Because, again, we recognize how disruptive this work is to our passengers. If we're in there anyway, we want to be able to do the work for two reasons. First of all, first and foremost, that we're less disruptive to our passengers to be able to do this work. And secondly, to get the efficiency of cost in there. You know, that would be significant for us. All those items, that all those items are in the 076 category of some, so to some degree.
Maybe we don't want to zero that out, so that's part of what we need to be doing anyway. The 5K is already out, and
We would not want to zero that out simply because, again, it's our desire to do it.
I think your explanation is very important in terms that, as you shared with us at safety this morning, how far and how unexpected we can find ourselves in terms of the disruption to service delivery to our customers because of this aging system. A lot of people see it as an expansion piece. It's not only an expansion piece, it really is bringing the system back to a state of good repair and to the framework that it started with us, and how often this rotation has to occur. And it is behind, and I think the importance of finding the time to get in there and do this separately if we don't fund it today is also a service impact to our customers. That disruption is horrible. So I think I would hope that we could look at this as more than just at the cost in terms of what one would think is expansion of service. It really is a cost of investment into the system and the long-term investment in the system.
So can I ask Mr. Goldman if he would be willing to amend his proposed amendment, since one of them is already out, one of them is arguably still very necessary, and just keep his 0068 future rail car portion in? Exactly, because of the reason that Mr. Troop explained that these are things that need to happen anyway. They won't be done at a pace necessary to as if we were trying to use them to power eight-car trains, but this is the code that counts for all of the work that we're doing with those three components of the power system, and it's necessary.
Is that accurate? Is that statement accurate? Statement was just made regarding power fees. My understanding is power fees for future fleet. Can it be disaggregated from?
The power, well, I think that, as I understand the question is, is this work that we would do anyway? And the third rail replacement is work that we would do anyway. We would not do it in the accelerated fashion that this had indicated. The work in regards to the cable power or the cable upgrades, which is part of that, that is work that we would do anyway. It is, we wouldn't do it in the accelerated fashion of that. It would be spread out over a longer period of time. The work for the traction power substations, we would go and do state of good repair work anyway into those. And what I would say is that while we're in there, because we know at some point that we are going to replace, you know, go to 100% eight car trains, at some point while we're in there, I want to be able to have the funds to be able to go in, the funding to be able to go in there and do
it.
I would upgrade it at that time, yeah.
And that, but back to Tom's presentation, that's $238 million over and above what has been the base plan.
Correct.
So is that the fund that you'd like to condition on the FDA approval and more clarity about how the rail car purchase would be deployed?
That's part of the answer. I think the other part is that what we're talking about now are the planning years, 2017 to 2021, and those are years where jurisdictions really have to come together and agree on how they're going to fund this.
Yeah, I mean, I view all of this stuff for 2017 to 2021 is provisional in any case.
Right. I
think we're saying the same thing, that you know, until the jurisdictions come together on these projects, which they haven't as yet, I think they should be zeroed out of this current document, because this current document only commits money for FY16. So we sort of engage in a charade.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 17 through 21 is somewhat hypothetical in any case.
Yeah.
So you're not really asking to zero it out of the budget. You're just asking to take it out of the presentation.
Oh, yes.
There is no agreement going beyond 16.
These numbers are there.
16 is the fixed budget. 16 is the fixed budget, and the rest is planning.
Yeah,
right.
But these other numbers are contained in the budget documents. So if we were to vote on them, we would be indicating a board commitment or approval of this future spending plan. I can't,
as we always,
which couldn't become a reality until we have a capital funding agreement. So
right, that's right. So because of
there
that,
there is a chicken and an egg here.
It becomes somewhat of a charade to keep these numbers in there right now when things are so controversial and have to be decided by the jurisdictions in terms of a capital funding agreement.
And have to be decided in the context of what car fleet we will have and what it will consist of.
So are you leaving 16 the way it is and just zeroing it out 17 in the future?
That gives you the time.
My motion did not deal with 16.
Yeah, it was all out here. Right. And I'd be happy to zero out everything in the out years, but since we're going to have to deal with it in the context of CFA, but we definitely want to have a plan that's out there that makes sense.
Let me just try to clarify. I think the rail car option is $630 million over a number of years, with the first payment of $53 million in July. Mm-hmm. That's in the 16 budget. Mm-hmm. There's $238 million of power upgrades that are required if we buy those cars to operate them in eight-car trains on the orange, the blue, and the silver line. Of that money, $32 million is in the 16 budget. 17 of the 32 is in the NVTA action item that will take place later, if that's helped.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't gotten to discuss it in the FY16 capital budget years yet. It's out there, but my amendment doesn't address it.
It addresses only 17.
I may have a future one that it does address it.
So it's not actually 238
minus 17?
Minus
32.
Only the out year component.
Yeah, the out years is 238 minus 32.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, could I also offer just on an earlier point for clarity, there are other capital projects that advance power-related work.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Troop was mentioning the third rail replacement program. That is a the standard annual program for that work is a separate CIP project.
That is a separate line item.
Correct. What would be accelerated would be part of a power upgrade project.
So if we were to adopt Mr. Goldman's motion, take it out of the out years, that would eliminate acceleration but not the state of good repair work.
If 76 were to not move forward at all and were to be zeroed out for the planning period, we would have to examine and disaggregate all of the work that's programmed there to ensure that the state of good repair work that's embedded is funded elsewhere in the program.
Okay.
And you don't know if it is right now.
If CIP 76 is zeroed out, there would be elements that would have to be restored in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps not the full 238, but.
So it's currently embedded.
It's embedded in that one line item.
Right.
It's probably embedded in that one
line item. It is. There are elements that are embedded in that one line item. There are other projects that advance similar work.
So I think if we could get between now and the board meeting that disaggregated number, we could go forward on the state of good repair, but defer the discussion about expansion until we resolve the issue of the fleet and its and the support. So we do the work between now and the board meeting so that what is presented to the board is this disaggregated number without that portion that is contingent on supporting the new fleet.
And just a point of order, Mr. Chairman, if we were to approve the capital budget with this '76 item still in it, would we be able to do the disaggregation at the committee at the full board and do it then? I mean, right now we're saying if we take it out, we know there's some things that are part of state of good repair that aren't going to be in there, and if for whatever reason we get it wrong or we're not sure what is what. And I'd actually like Mr. Troop to be able to make the argument then more specifically about where he would advise going ahead with an upgrade, just because it's efficient, cost-effective, and timely to do it if you're already making a state of good repair improvement. So I'd like to know that too. But, I mean, could we do it that way, or must we do it this way? As a point of order for the...
I think we should. We can change this at the
board.
Board.
Yeah.
We're only 2 weeks away.
Yes,
yeah.
It's an.
Then I will ask Mr. Goldman again if he would permit us to leave 076 in for now, take out 0068 as he had proposed, and we'll take the disaggregated 076 up in the full mm-hmm. board meeting.
No, I'm sorry. For planning purposes, I want to zero them all out now if staff comes forward.
So the preference is your preference is to zero it out and then restore it. Can I count on the fact that you will support restoring it if we get the disaggregation?
The state of good repair item.
State of good repair. I think we get to the same place. And I would prefer at some point to restore the upgrade, but that's
upgrade
part of a larger package.
The upgrade is
What if at that time we don't have agreement to put the state of good repair items back in?
We'll have to take it up in the 2017.
Well, I think Maryland has consistently supported keeping the state of good repair and doing the things that are necessary to ensure safety in the system. I don't think Maryland has any concern about that. The issue is whether we make a decision on the expansion issue now. Maryland is not arguing and has not argued for eliminating the state of good repair program.
So if you would prepare the disaggregated numbers and give them to me as an amendment to offer on the at the board to restore what's necessary to achieve state of good repair, I could support Mr. Goldman's proposal.
Are you able to do that on a timely basis? Are you able to do that on a timely basis? Okay.
There are other amendments. Well, we have need to vote on Mr. Goldman's amendment. All in favor? Excuse me? Oh, I need a second. I'll second it. Yeah. All in favor? All right. There are other amendments with respect to the capital program. Yes. Mr. Goldman. I'm sorry, I called for the ayes on that. I thought it was unanimous. So are there any nays? Nay. Okay. I'll record that in a minute.
Two nays.
I'd like to make a motion that addresses a concern about the using the new rail cars as replacement for the 5,000 series mm-hmm. cars. As I've mentioned before, this amendment would read as follows. Resolved that with regard to the early retirement of the 5,000 series rail cars, the board directs the general manager to do an independent review of procurement, inspection, maintenance of the 5,000 series rail cars to determine the factors that contributed to the poor performance of these vehicles and whether reliability can be improved in a more cost-effective manner to enable improved utilization of useful life of these rail cars.
So let me make sure I understand what the import of this would be. Study alternate ways to improve the performance of the 5K. One that's pending at the moment but without FTA approval is to just scrap them and put 7Ks in. You're saying let's do a look at whether there are other ways to get better performance out of the 5K.
Why we've ended up with
And in addition, how do we do a better job?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
And it may be that the things that were.
I think it's the first.
If the issue is maintenance, then it may turn out that the 5Ks aren't fixable, but there are things that we can learn that would help us in other. In the new cars going forward. Now, I don't want to prejudge this, but I think the issue is to look at both of those things. What has been done, and why are they not? Why don't we look at rehabilitation? And if the answer comes out, we should look at rehabilitation. Then that would be an option.
My understanding of rehabilitating the 5Ks is essentially it would be gut them completely and put all new equipment.
Well, and I assume that part of this study would be looking at those kinds of issues in some detail.
I mean, that's been looked at already.
Yeah, what I'd like to say is, you know, this is the question that the FDA is currently asking us. So that, you know, when we took this, you know, it was there's a financial concern here to be able to say, okay, you know, the 5K is going to cost us X number of dollars to rehabilitate the 7K because we have such a good pricing on that it's going to cost X number of dollars to buy it. In addition to that, the FTA has asked us the very same question. So I would think that the FTA is engaged in that process right now. The FTA has asked us the questions, what engineering campaigns have you done? What maintenance have you done? Provide us with the Maximo records to show that the maintenance is on there. How much maintenance is being done on this compared to the other cars? So all that information has been provided to the FTA. And what I would say is because the FTA is asking that same questions, we're giving that them. I don't know. I honestly don't know what value that we would receive from that report. We have had our consultant engaged in looking at this specifically, looking at the cost allocation of it, looking at the maintenance issues, looking at the engineering campaigns that we have going on with this car. So you know, from a rehabilitation to a purchase of the 7K, it's a financial consideration. But the FTA broadens that to say, if we let this happen, why is the car here to begin with? So, like I said, I don't think that there's a value to doing that. I think the FTA is engaged in that currently. We've given them that information for them to look at. So, you know, that's how I would present that.
They're working on this within the context of their July 26th.
That is correct.
For options.
Yes, they understand.
A new study wouldn't get done by then, but if I'm asking, would a packaging and transparent disclosure of what's been put together get us what we need to make a decision.
I think if we can get that by next week, so that if the issue is still undecided by the board member, we can make the meeting then.
We have
just said July 26th.
No, they said by July 26th.
If a consultant study, if we can get the consultant study provided this week or early next week, so that the jurisdictions, Maryland, have the chance to review it.
We still may not have FTA's answer in 2 weeks, but we certainly
we have the information that we sent to the FTA.
Yeah, I think that would go a long way.
Comments?
Yes.
Mr. Goldman, the amendment you made, I'm not sure what it has to do with the budget. You're saying you would like to have a review of why we had to retire the 5,000 car series. How does that impact the budget?
Well, because we took out of the budget the money. We took out of the budget the money for rehabilitation of the 5K cars on the assumption that the FTA
I get all that.
If the FTA doesn't approve this transaction, we'd like to understand better, you know, what's wrong with these cars. How did we get in this position? Before we go forward, that money and put that money in the budget going forward.
So you want to put money in the budget to do a study?
Yeah.
Is that? I'm wondering how your request is impacting the capital budget.
The staff took out of the capital budget $193 million that would have been used in future years, 2017 through 2021.
Agreed.
For the mid-year or mid-life rehabilitation of the 5,000 series rail cars. If the FDA doesn't approve this substitution, we're going to have to put that money back in because we're then going to have the 5,000 series fleet. So we'd like to understand better how the 5,000 fleet got to where it is. Did we screw up the procurement? Did we not put in specs that were being complied with? Did we ever try to sue the manufacturer and say to them they're not living up to the contract specification? Did we not follow the maintenance specifications that were in either the procurement or in the manufacturer's maintenance manuals and maintenance procedures? We'd like to understand.
So if we understand 1,000% better than we do today, how does that impact the capital budget?
It will impact the capital budget next year, and it will impact whether we want to put those money, those accounts, monies back into
I almost feel like it's something that should be disassociated with the budget discussion, and again, call for, I'm not opposed to getting that information, but I'm not sure how it's impacting the budget.
I guess it's because the budget is what's on the table now, and it relates to a capital expenditure, and we will have to consider.
So really what you're asking for is a package of information that you would need. I agree with Ms. Corcoran, probably not an amendment to the budget. It's clearly a request for information that should be able to be provided, and hopefully in a time frame that keeps the option of the option open.
And I am in agreement with that. I would like to have that information as well, but I just don't know how it fits into the budget.
Well, I mean, at this point, if the general manager is saying that this consultant study will be provided either this week or next week, and then we have time to consider it before the full board meeting at the end of the month,
or we could defer even that to the that piece to the June board meeting and still have the ability to. That's actually your work at specific
separate and apart from the budget, since we're talking about this, if you retire the 5,000 series before its useful life, there's a dollar amount associated with that. And are we in the process of checking with the FDA?
Yes.
About what that cost factor is.
Yes.
Do we have a dollar amount?
We don't have that.
Oh, we don't have it yet. Okay.
I mean, the hope for best case from FTA would be they agree that these cars are better replaced than rehab.
Okay, fine.
And therefore, they would not. They would then say their useful life is over.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about the liability.
No, if we prematurely jump in and say we're retiring these, my friends downtown would be saying, give us back our money.
I think we're all agree.
Yeah.
We'll get as much information as possible in a clear, understandable form as early as possible. It would be helpful to have before the board meeting this month. It would be crucial to have before the time runs out to make a decision on the options if we have that opportunity. If not, we're into a new Plan C anyway.
Yeah.
The consultant report is going to answer part of that question. The FDA has asked for a gross amount of information, yep. which has not been synthesized to be able to say, except by experts, to be able to look at the information and say, okay, these are your maximum work orders. This is what has been developed from these. These are what the issues of the car have been based. These are what the engineering campaigns are. So the consultant study will answer part of what it is. But again, some of the information that has been provided to the FDA is not synthesized to the point. And I don't know that I can get that specifically within a reasonable time frame and do a good job, but we can get exactly what we have sent to the FDA.
We know that FDA wants something in order to make a decision before the June 26th deadline. Right.
I think we can add anything else that the FDA asked for between now and their decision, we certainly would provide to the jurisdictions also.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so you'll work on that. We'll get it to everybody, and we'll have the ability to make as reasonable a decision as we can make this month or else have to with respect to that element of the budget. We still have before us the recommendation of the committee to recommend the balance of the 2016 capital budget to the board. Are there other suggested amendments?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman,
yes,
one more. Unfortunately, I have to make an amendment to delete from the FY16 budget in account 0076, which currently reads 31.6, and to reduce that by 6 million, so that it reads 25.6.
Which one was it?
This is which?
This is on
what it is.
F1.
Is there a page number?
Page 167.
167.
Section D, about halfway down the page, the first project is CIP 76.
So is that the rail power upgrade?
The power upgrade. Essentially, the power upgrade includes $17 million, I believe, of new money, five from Virginia, six from the district, and six from Maryland.
Yes.
At this point, Maryland's position is that all system preservation needs should be funded prior to funding expansion projects. And at this point, since we don't have the 5,000 series funding, we have not addressed all of our system preservation needs, and we must therefore defer expansion projects. So that money, that $6 million at least for Maryland, is not in the state's budget.
And you would then have to delete the Virginia money because it's contingent on match up in the other jurisdictions.
Our amendment is only to make clear that that money is not there to be provided by Maryland. Its share of 6 million.
So, second.
So it doesn't matter what happened here.
You don't hear a second. A second. Okay.
Second.
Yeah. Is there further discussion?
Does that go back to the discussion about the earlier operating budget, the subsidy for the 5A? So is Maryland prepared to remove the power upgrade subsidy over the subsidy for the 5A route? I think you had mentioned that earlier. So Maryland is
prepared to find that money.
But only if the 5A. So the hostage is the 5A.
So Maryland is holding hostage their residents from getting to work at Dulles Airport. They're holding power upgrades to that. Is that correct?
We're holding hostage coming forward with, it would be very difficult in a very tight budget year for Maryland, coming up with $6 million. Independently, that's going to be a very tough deal to do. In order to do that, we need to be able to show something. We thought to be able to show that we are saving our taxpayers $500,000 was investment.
What is the 19%?
In order to produce $6 million for the region.
You could say saving your taxpayers, or you could say denying your Maryland residents their transportation to their job.
You can say what you want. That's what the budget looks like.
Further discussion?
I just had a question.
Yes.
What was the
percentage allocation for the 5A?
19%
What's the subsidy on the?
600,000.
600,000?
So it's 600,000.
Is the total subsidy for the 5A?
Okay. I just wanted to make
936.
Okay. Hey, that's a pretty good rate of return.
It's a big return.
We need 600. No, we'll find 6 million.
Tom, what would be the impact on Maryland of the subsidy zero out for Maryland on the 5A?
Good afternoon, everyone. So the net impact would be $600,000 approximately, and that cost would then be an increase of $300,000 for the district and $300,000 for Virginia.
Thank you.
All right. So Mr. Goldman's motion, as seconded, is to eliminate the $6 million, which effectively eliminates the entire $17
million.
Which may also be a moot point if we don't have cars to provide expansion. We may not have the Virginia $6 million. But what I hear from Mr. Goldman is if we revisit his amendment with respect to the 5A, he will withdraw his amendment on the $6 million.
Mr. Chairman, that was really the offer for trying to work this. The 5A,
yes,
in
and we're back
less
there.
Impactful way for yeah. all of us, but yeah. that wasn't the.
Yeah, but it's now here before us in a very straightforward way.
Right.
Well, for the purpose of moving this along, I would provide, can I do this? Take Mr. Goldman's original amendment from the table and put it before us again. The simple change the formula to take Maryland out of the sharing on the 5A.
We settled that matter.
I know, we settled it,
yes.
And Mr. Goldman wants it reopened in order to not offer the $6 million cut. Or you, would you prefer to just have a vote on the $6 million cut?
You can reconsider a vote if someone from the side that won the vote asks you to reconsider.
I was on that side. There are two ways to proceed. I'm just trying to figure which is better. We could have a vote on the motion to eliminate the $6 million to see how that goes, or we could reverse ourselves on the 600,000, or we could say no to both of them. I'll go the other way. Let's vote on the motion to eliminate the $6 million in the capital.
Aye.
The further discussion of that?
Calling for
a vote on right,
the,
to eliminate the $6 million. The further discussion on that? Motion is Mr. Goldman's amendment to knock $6 million out of capital program for 2016, which effectively knocks out $17 million.
Are you calling for a vote?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, before the vote, could I ask for clarity here? There's an expenditure side of the capital budget, and there's a funding side of the capital budget. There's approximately $17.7 million of
expenditure side.
A budget authority in the proposal, Maryland's share of that allocated share of that happens to be $6.165 million. Is the motion to reduce the expenditure side, $6.165 million, and the funding associated with that.
I think effectively it's 6.1 out of the, I mean, it basically costs us the whole thing to fall apart.
I think the amendment really has to be the full 17
million.
Mr. Chairman, it's the full 17, but it's also the future portions of other allocations that may be coming from Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to offer this one, and this was a little bit to your alternative, mm-hmm. that we simply eliminate the 5A period.
For which we would have to hold
a
hearing.
Public hearing.
Mm-hmm. We would have to go back out.
And we've already voted to do that.
Yes.
Yes. But that doesn't say to Maryland that it will be eliminated or that they will save their $600,000. It certainly, takes them down that road.
It gives us the opportunity to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not eliminated.
So $300,000, I'll give you that out of my pocket. Get out of here.
Careful. That solves this problem. If my alternative one is rather than lose $17 million for the authority and the long term investments that we would be making into the power upgrades, mm-hmm. or actually funding that comes to WMATA, is to simply eliminate, as you started almost, rather than just the Maryland contribution, mm-hmm. the entire route or consideration of elimination.
We can't vote to eliminate it today or tomorrow. We'd have to go on a hearing notice. But I'm hearing that those on the west side of the Potomac would support eliminating because I think they have a better alternative.
Or is there a way that we could do some kind of amendment that gets us to, look, we'll do a new survey immediately, and if, in fact, Maryland's percentage of ridership for the 5A is in fact, zero, you go to zero. If it's 5%, you're at 5%. I think there seems to be, from Maryland's perspective, that there is not Maryland ridership on the 5A. But we're only talking about the 5A.
So they're talking about both. Yeah.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yes.
This is the interesting discussion here. If one member decides to walk out of the regional piece, then I think is it really fair that
all of us might have a better option? You have an option?
Yeah.
That's an idea.
Yeah.
That,
okay.
And the concept would be that the FY16 would go forward with no one share of the 5A subject to due adjustments. In the full year, after a survey is done, what the actual ridership is. So if it turns out 5%, you pay even less. Turns out 50%, you pay more.
But aren't you currently paying that now? Is that not the formula?
They're paying 19.
Well, that's because of a previous survey, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're saying a new survey, and you would live with that outcome.
Okay.
Whatever the survey would show.
So the survey.
Yeah. Right. And you'd withdraw your amendment on the power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's the capital and the operating budget are affected, aren't they?
Right.
Right.
Right. You had the cap. The
10%, 20% is 600,000, and the 10% would be like 300,000.
Yes. Actually, the Maryland portion of that funding.
That's the same numbers. Well, maybe he had the same one.
Okay.
That idea, we're all agreed to terminate the 5N as of January 1st, 2016. Then we know the voting is our share for the 6 months, and we'll put it in the budget.
That's better.
The 6 months share, so we'll put it in the budget. Half of the 900,000, 450,000, the Maryland share,
and the elimination is subject to the public participation process, but if that's where we're going in, somebody will have to chair that hearing and listen to the...
Say that again. What was the actual amendment?
The proposal is leave the 5A operating. They'll pay for it for 6 months on the assumption that it will be...
So the budget will only include enough money for the 5A for 6 months.
Council?
At the current...
Yeah.
You can't say it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we do need to do Title VI. We do need to hold the hearings. We need to get our flak suits on for those who want to keep it.
So that goes
to the public
concept. And Title VI.
I think I would be more comfortable if we reduce the subsidy percentage to the 10%, which is what half of what you're at now, and agree to have a hearing. Right, because I don't want to be on record saying that we are proposing that we cancel it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we do.
And so, and subject to survey and public hearing. Right.
I was just picking up on the original.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the proposal over here. Was to send it to hearing.
I don't think that was ever a proposal, right?
Proposal was made to send it to hearing. Yeah.
To send it to hearing,
yes.
Not to cancel.
We can't at this point say we're going to eliminate it. And
I'm...
And if the hearing determined we should keep it, we then have to, go back to the budget?
We have to decide in December that
okay. We're ready for that?
We're ready.
We're ready. Technically, that's reopening the operating budget. This is an action having to do with the operating budget. Right. So bring back the operating budget. Put that.
Actually, I don't think we're changing the operating budget, are we? Because didn't we agree to have a hearing already?
No, but he's saying cut half the funding. Go back to the operating budget, cut half of the money out, and have a hearing. If we determine through the hearing that we can't eliminate the service, we'll have to reallocate money to keep it running in some fashion. So we'll all be back at this table. We can do it every week and we talk about, you know, $50,000 a week, whatever it is. Right, yes, right, that's good. They give us good indication. Anything else on the capital?
Well, I think we did. Don't we need to vote on the tabling the motion that's on the table right now?
I don't know. Did you second that motion?
Yes.
Okay, but Mr. Goldman said he would withdraw.
Are you going to withdraw it?
Yeah.
planning reserve, but have we adopted and changed the operating?
No, we have to finish this part, don't.
No, we tabled.
Are we okay?
I think we should go back to the operating.
Okay, we'll go back to the operating budget and amend it in accordance with this discussion.
Tabling his amendment right now for the.
No, we're not tabling it. He's not withdrawing it until.
Until he gets a vote.
If we're setting it aside, then we'll.
Setting it aside, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So all in favor of amending the operating budget with respect to the 5A?
I think the general counsel wants to make a point.
Yes.
The general counsel, are you desirous of making a point?
Okay. Well, what we need to do is you can also have one motion pending.
Mm-hmm.
So that you would have to take some action with the Goldman's motion, either having withdrawn or tabled. At which point you can return to the operating budget.
Okay. For that purpose, you'll withdraw that and take up the operating amendment. Yeah. Any further discussion on 5A and operating? That's what I'm asking for right now. If there's any further discussion, if not, all
Mr. Chairman,
of that amendment.
Before you do that, could we state again exactly what the amendment is? Is it changing the operating expense budget? Is it changing the subsidy of
right.
the operating expense budget?
It's a change in the operating budget to reduce the full cost of the 5A on the theory that we're putting it only out for a half year pending the hearings. No, everybody is only funding it for 6 months.
So
funding 5A for 6 months, July 1 through December 31st, subject to a hearing
mm-hmm.
and subject to resistance allocation
subsidy. So let me step through that again. So we would be reducing the budget for the 5A by half, the expense
right.
budget by half.
Yeah.
The revenue budget by half, because
yes.
if there is fair revenue that's received on the 5A, and we would be reducing the jurisdictional subsidy of the 5A by half. And that would presume that we would be eliminating the service on January 1st or thereabouts.
So if
the budget doesn't fund the activity beyond January 1st, the budget assumes that it's not going to be provided.
We have to come back.
But you can make an adjustment of the budget.
Yeah.
And then the budget started to
get to be saying, starting off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, if you.
Mark?
Yeah. If I would have to provide some proposed language to try and deal with that, to attempt to resolve. Yeah, to reduce the revenues and expenses by half and to direct staff to bring forward the appropriate resolution to the board to consider holding a public hearing to determine the date of the resolution.
So you would incorporate that language into the big resolution that will come to the board?
Yes. We have been set and voted by the board. Open
okay. The okay. So everybody comfortable with that? We're good. And you have already withdrawn the motion on the power. Other discussion on the 2016 capital budget and 20
operating.
Operating.
We operating budget.
So it's the allocation. Well, we have to come back to committee first. We have to
yeah. We have to go back, and we already adopted the operating once. But we're going to re-adopt it with the amendment. Well, actually, we said we want to do it that
wait,
way.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Just 1 second.
Yeah.
If you're going to reduce the funding without a public hearing, would that be tantamount to making a decision to eliminate the service?
Or reduce
the service, if you're reducing the service. The tantamount to the same.
In theory, the general manager has the power to reprogram. So he could, in theory, take other operating savings to apply to that.
If the outcome of the hearing process was that it had to be continued.
Yeah, I think we can do that. I mean, it'd be better to fund. I mean, I would prefer that you fund it for the full year with the pending the outcome of a public hearing on the need or the decision as to whether the service will continue, as we're doing with a number of other things which we will come up. And our recommendation, you know, in the docket, we have to say what our thoughts are about the 5A. We're going to have to say consideration of eliminating the service. That way it's not prejudging. It just says we funded it, but we're going to evaluate the need for that service during the public hearing process.
So I don't think we can cut it. We have to leave it intact and then go through this process and make an adjustment later on. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think we know what the interest is, and from a financial standpoint for Maryland, and certainly that could be the point of discussion. Fact is, that do we really need this service? And that would be the discussion topic during the public hearing
but
on the funding.
In the meantime, we want to fund it for a full year.
Yes. That's why it's not prejudged that it's going to be terminated. So the outcome of the public hearing would, the board, we come back to the board and they say, we agree to these following changes and bus service changes, which includes, potentially, the elimination of the 5A. We've had a Title VI analysis on it. You get to judge all of the actions we've taken in consideration and then make your action.
Question is, if Maryland
would be talking about that? How do you feel about that?
I think we'd still prefer some way to indicate the board's interest or desire in terminating service at the end of 6 months.
I don't think we can say that we're going to terminate the service absent a public hearing. Could we not say that we'll take a look at it? You have the basic intent here.
The public hearing would, in fact, propose the elimination of the service.
Yes, it would propose the elimination of the service because we have to tell the public what our thoughts are about what we want to do with it, what our recommendation is on the service.
So would that be satisfactory?
Yes, can we expedite the hearing? How quickly can we do it?
We were talking 2 months from now, weren't you?
Yeah.
The normal.
I don't know that we can eliminate the service except at the regular service pick time, which is in December. By going to the board, we usually come to the board in July. We prefer not to have a public hearing in August because everybody's gone, so we like to make it available in September. Come back to the board with the Title VI report and the public hearing report in November or possibly October, and then we take the actual action at the end of the year.
So the timeline would be a hearing in September.
Yes.
We could take action in
October, November.
November.
And then
assuming this hearing produces sufficient justification. To
correct. Then we terminate. Service adjustments coming out of the public hearing and board approval would take place, most likely would take place in December. Certainly on this one it would.
I think the only other element we need is the survey. Where does the survey will be done before the hearing? Ridership, so that
there wouldn't be a need for the survey if in fact it was eliminated.
Well, but we can't prejudge that. That's
right. All right, so we could do a survey just to basically understand who's using it.
If it turns out that
how long does the survey take? Mr. Drew, how long does the survey take?
I'm hearing the survey's already been complete and the results of it are due in the next within the next week.
So you have it already.
I think so we have the documentation. We haven't got the report
yet.
Yeah, we haven't received it yet, but the survey.
But when was the survey taken? Was it taken after the Silver Line? How far into the Silver Line's operations was the survey?
It was taken in October of last year.
So that would be 3 months of Silver Line activity.
Okay.
At least 2 months.
Let's just add one more element to this. So we have the hearing, the survey, mm-hmm. and I just want to take Jim up on a proposal that the subsidy amount, since we're now doing it for a year, would be.
We are, if it continues, even for this time that it will operate.
Yeah.
Okay.
For 1 year, we will
or 6 months.
Year, Maryland funding it at 10% rather than its current percentage.
Or if it turns out to be 25%.
I thought we agreed to fund it at the current rates for 6 months.
Yeah, we can't do it. We can't do it for the whole year.
So we're approaching a different
even the budget.
Yeah, I think Mike's request is that when the survey results come in, that 1 year be allocated by the new survey results.
So we'll go to 10%.
Or whatever it is.
And if Maryland owes more, Maryland will be responsible for that. If it shows that 30% of it is Maryland ridership, you'll owe an extra 20.
Well, actually, I think we'd stay at 19. and modify based on the survey.
That's not what Mike's asking.
We would pay 10% for FY16, but subject to readjustment if the survey is.
What's the basis for 10%?
Arbitrary.
It's arbitrary.
I think it was actually Mr. Goldman.
Jack would like it. That we reduce the first 6 months and fund the entire year and we ask the general manager to fund the next 6 months.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Fund it for 6 months?
The subsidies are reduced for 6 months. The budget will reflect the year funding, and we would ask to see if there are other savings that can be found in the budget. And leaves us without having qualifiers on what happens after for a year.
In the possibly in the budget process, in the public hearing process, our general guidelines have been not to make service adjustments that are to make service adjustments that are cost neutral. I guess we could make service adjustments such as that it makes up the difference in the subsidy for the 5A. I mean, with an intent to save whatever the dollars need to be. So we could try to have that goal as part of the public hearing process.
So let me.
Which means that there's going to be other services somewhere are going to have to be reduced, changed in some process to reduce the overall expense to maintain the 5A.
So you're saying because our general policy has been that the mid-year service changes have to be cost neutral, that if we don't put money for the second half of the year in for this bus service and we decide to continue it, that we would be required to cut somewhere else, that we would not otherwise have to cut.
Correct.
To be honest, I don't know for sure where we are. The one thing I do know is 5 after 5, and we still have 4 action items ahead of us, all of which are probably more money involved than what's left in the 5A.
You know, I can either go with the Sutton's proposal, or I can go with what I thought was the Sutton's proposal, where we would go forward with Maryland for 10% subject to.
Yeah, I'm not real comfortable with putting arbitrary numbers out, because then we might next year have to sit and
we're going to negotiate
every route.
We're going to have a survey.
Yeah.
Results
soon
in a week
before the board meeting.
I'm hearing.
Do we agree to stand by those new survey results?
Survey results,
right? So the ones that are coming in next week, to me, it is what it is.
I don't know before we have to take the final.
So we don't have to reopen the operating budget at this time. Okay.
Table, right? Did somebody move it already?
No, we just have what we've done.
We've got a proposal of a solution that will work it out. I would love to see it written up before I act on it, but I will support whatever you guys write up.
But with the survey coming.
With the survey, right. So,
Michael, do you want to withdraw your 10% factor, given the fact that the survey is forthcoming? And then,
I'll withdraw the 10%, but I think the survey should deal with both the 5A as well as the EWI bus. And if the party has agreed to abide by whatever percentages come out for both,
I don't know whether it was. the BWI, the bus even.
The B30 is a non-regional route, and the non-regional routes are 100% subsidized by the jurisdiction that decides to have it.
So we've not surveyed that.
Right, but we've got an allocation.
We can survey it, but it
these are two airports that are serving the Washington metropolitan area. The contention seems to be that there's a mixture of people from different jurisdictions who are on these buses, and therefore, if there is a mixture of jurisdiction people, then the jurisdiction should share in the amount.
But the B30 is not categorized as a regional route because it doesn't cross jurisdictional lines.
I understand that. I'm just asking that a survey be done of the ridership for that bus as well.
There is a survey on all routes?
Yeah, it's part of the regional bus survey.
So we'll have the same percentages for the some percentages for the B30?
We're just trying to confirm, Jason, what all we need to do.
But once you get the survey, the percentages, but it's not funded, predicated on a survey.
No, it's not. It's just
what?
It's just information.
Somebody on the mats.
I'd be in favor of doing a survey for the BWI route.
All right. Done.
Yeah, but it won't make a difference. Mm-hmm. You can because the fund the funding source will not be adjusted after the survey. You can
do it. Board has a special allocation formula for this Dulles Road, so the board can just as well have a special allocation formula.
But the general, the general manager said that that's not the way they do it. They would.
We have two unique situations.
Let's agree that
it's fine.
We're gonna have the survey back. Before we get to the board, we'll have language that I think that will help us resolve this. And so the action that we're simply saying is we don't have to address.
We do nothing today. You two will work out something to be brought to the board.
That's exactly.
Is that satisfactory?
And we're going to talk about why we.
Then we go back to adoption of the capital budget for 2016, as it has been amended. Further amendments? Not all in favor of the capital budget for 2016 and the out-year plans as amended? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Report an abstention.
One abstention. Okay. So we're passed. The two budget items, staff can now proceed as importantly to get the grants documented and applied for and positioned so that the cash can be drawn down as early as possible, which will be very
helpful
for them.
Thank you, we will.
We now still have, and let's take a look at what has to be done. Yes. Yes. I was just going to hear what these items are and see how there are three items. Okay. Everybody's attention. There are three remaining action items, which I'll quickly describe. There are two additional information items. The regular report from Mr. Fishburne on progress, which is a pretty good set of progress, and the third quarter operating. I suggest we not have presentations on those. You have them in your package. You can read them. The three action items that are here, first are approval of changes to the drug and alcohol policy statements. We are required to do drug and alcohol testing on a number of positions. As a matter of federal regulation. In the triennial review from the Federal Transit Administration, they had suggested fairly strongly that our policies were obsolete, that had not been looked at for some time, and that what the staff has brought is an update to those policies that will put them in conformance with federal requirement. I think in addition, you're suggesting bringing the drug-free workplace policy up to date, even though that wasn't part of their suggestion. It's also out of date. A lot of work has gone into conforming our policies to the federal requirement, and that's what's in the document. Mm-hmm. I also have to say that we have more work to be done over the next several months to be sure that our procedures and our execution of these policies also meets the requirements. But first step is get the policies in place.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, I think it's a good summary. I mean, when they originally was approved, it was approved by the board. The amendments have been made by the general manager, and I think one of the recommendations is the policy be approved by the board again.
If so we're coming back to you. Approve the amended policy.
The overall policy, and we do have work to do. We intend to come back to you in September with an update and hope to have all of the procedures and everything fine-tuned by the end of the calendar year.
I mean, there have been significant things that come to light on how we're executing this, and there's room for substantial improvement to meet both the spirit and the letter of the federal law. But I think with the help of the Governance Committee and with Catherine Pett's help, we really have gotten our arms around this.
Yeah, Catherine and HR department's worked.
Does the committee want any further presentation on this from Tanya or others?
Yes.
Oh, I was asking, do we want any further presentation?
So the question, so we're taking this off the action list. Is that the idea?
I'm going to move the adoption of this.
Oh, you're going to move the adoption.
Do we want any further presentation other than my explanation? Everybody's read it. I would move the adoption of a recommendation of the board that they adopt the drug and alcohol policy changes.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next item, which I will ask a very brief comment from staff on, are somewhat ministerial, but some significant changes to our reimbursable agreement with the Airports Authority with respect to our role, the WMATA role in that project and how we bring it up to date. Could you explain for us what we have to do?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to make this very quickly. We're here to ask for board approval to amend the Phase 1 and Phase 2 Dulles reimbursable project budgets, and with that we have to revise the overall capital reimbursable budget as well as revise our agreements with the MWA. Quickly, MWA is managing the project. Our role as future owner and operator is one of oversight, and we have reimbursable agreements in place for both Phase 1 and Phase 2 that outline our roles and responsibilities during the construction phase. We did a bookkeeping exercise several years ago. We decided to exercise the option for the 7000 series for the Dulles rail cars. For Phase 2, we did not have a Phase 2 agreement in place at the time, so we agreed to put the Phase 2 rail cars in the Phase 1 budget. So we went through the process of increasing the budget to reflect that. So what we're here today to do is a little bookkeeping and get the Phase 2 rail cars out of the Phase 1 budget, reduce it by the appropriate amount, and then increase the Phase 2 budget by that same amount. The other part of the budget revision for Phase 1 reflects costs that we incurred due to delays of the project at the very beginning, and then a delay in the opening at the back end. Then we also had some of our deliverables, part of our roles and responsibilities, that had some overruns. We had some underruns as well, but there's a net increase in the overall budget. So the recommendation is for the board approval to revise the Silver Line reimbursable project budgets, specifically decrease the Phase 1 budget from $478.7 million to $272.85 million, then increase the Phase 2 budget by the same amount, which is basically taken from $103 million to $308.8 million. Then back to the Phase 1 budget to deal with the cost overruns. Increase the Phase 1 budget from $272.85 million to $293.9 million. Then we have to increase the FY15 reimbursable program by the same $21.1 million. And then we need board approval to make the necessary revisions to the reimbursable agreements we have with the Airport Authority.
And all of these funds that we're talking about are MWA funds that will be coming to us as part of their cost of financing the project in whatever way they're doing that.
That's correct.
And has MWA approved or at least indicated approval to this?
Yes, they have.
Has the board acted?
That, Shiva, the board has acted?
We have a letter from them. We sent them a letter of questions.
Yeah. Okay. So they have concurred.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? If not, I would move the item. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The last is the approval on our part of to accept NVTA funds to pay for a share of the. To accept NVTA funds as part of the power upgrades that we were discussing earlier. This would involve commitment that the funds will be matched. It also raises the question of whether enough expansion of service is part of them. But for the moment, at least, the thought is if you're willing to move this, we try to grab the money while we can. I second. And I think the item also includes fairly extensive language and policy. This is a new entity that we're doing business with. They have all of their own boilerplate and all their own conditions, and I'm assuming those have been negotiated by staff and are something we can live with. But we still will have to get over this hurdle of, is this truly meeting the NVTA? Right. Are there questions on NVTA? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I think that does it. You two or whoever else is involved will work up a full description of what the 5A plan and the district. Everybody should be involved in that. But my sense is there is consensus on that we have to resolve it. In some fashion, that's acceptable. Yeah. We'll see the survey next week. Yeah. I don't know when they'll do a. Yeah. So I'll declare the meeting adjourned.